welcome to our Bible study. We begin a new class this morning on parenting. I've asked Daniel Martin to go around and pass out. There was a handout on the table in the back. If you didn't get a copy, if you'll raise your hand, we'll try to get one to you. I'll try to have a handout each time for the next lesson. This class will actually be on Sunday and Wednesday for 3 weeks, with the 1 week gap in the middle for the meeting. So we'll meet Sunday and Wednesday of this week, Sunday and Wednesday of next week. Then we'll have a gospel meeting, and it'll be one more Sunday and Wednesday. But I always try to have Sunday's lesson out on Wednesday and Wednesday's lesson out on Sunday. The other thing is we'll try to have them on the website too. So this first lesson, I know Dan already posted on the website, so it's there on the website if you want to get a hold of it that way. And after class today, I'll run off copies of lesson two and put those on the table in the back, and we'll also get that posted on the website if it's easier for you to get it there. So the questions are just a guide to try to help you anticipate the directions that I may anticipate going in, which may or may not be the direction we go in, depending on your comments and questions. And I will say that I want to encourage your comments and questions, and especially your suggestions. There'll be a lot of things we have to leave out. Obviously, we can't cover everything about parenting in six classes. And so, your suggestions as to what to include or not include would be helpful. I've already had one parent say, "I sure hope you're going to talk about teenagers." So, anyway, if that's a concern for you, you can let me know that verbally or put a note in the suggestion box, and we'll try to hit all of those things that are requested, either in class or even maybe outside of class, however we need to do that. Before we begin our study, let's go to God in a word of prayer. Pray with me, please. Almighty God, our loving Father, we're so thankful to be your children and so thankful that you are a perfect Father, the perfect provider, the perfect teacher. We're thankful, Father, for every expression of your love toward us. We're thankful in your wisdom that you have given us earthly parents. We're thankful for the good lessons that we learn from them. We're thankful even for the examples, positive and negative, that we learn and sometimes have to unlearn. We pray that you would help us to learn from our earthly relationships that the only relationship that can satisfy us is our relationship with you. We pray that our earthly relationships will draw us closer to you. We pray that you would guide us in this study and be with all the teachers and students in all the classes, that we might learn more of you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. The first thing that I'm going to suggest is probably the first question that's in some of your minds. Why am I studying this? Isn't there another class? Because I'm not a parent. Or, oh, it's too late for me. My kids are already gone. And that's a valid question. And I have a valid answer. In fact, more than one. The first thing to realize, I think, is that parenting is an object lesson about the ultimate relationship. Throughout the Bible, our relationship with God is compared to the parent-child relationship. And whether you ever have children or not, whether your children are still in your home or gone, you need to know about parenting, because that's the lesson that God uses to teach us about our relationship with Him. And so if your relationship with God is a concern to you, and it should be, then you need to understand some things about the parent-child relationship. We learn things as a child. God could have created us like Adam. He could have. We could all be born as full-grown adults. But other than Adam and Eve, every human on the face of the earth, including Jesus Christ, began as an infant, completely dependent upon others for their care, their training. God must have had a reason for that. And then, you know, if we are blessed to have children, we definitely learn some lessons there as well. You know, we're not through learning when we leave childhood. There are some lessons that, in many ways, I think we'll see, they're actually the same lessons, they're just reinforced. But also, I want to suggest to you that one of the reasons we study parenting is for self-understanding. You may, despite your determined efforts not to be like your parents in some ways, you may see that that's exactly who you're becoming. You may tell your spouse, you're just like your mother. Hopefully you're saying that in a positive way. But unfortunately, sometimes we'll say, or you may say, you're just like your father. And that could be, I actually teach a class, and we'll talk about in just a moment some of my experiences, but I teach a class in the prison. And this class is called Changes. It's about changing habits and achieving new goals. Basically, it's for people who have been incarcerated who are going to go back into society. And obviously, there are things about their life that they need to change or else they wouldn't be where they are. But a lot of times, the things that they need to change are things that they learned when they were very young. And for them to change, they have to go all the way back to where they learned those behaviors and realize, okay, this is how I learned this, and this is where, that doesn't work, and that's why I need. And until I see that that's where this behavior starts and where it comes from, I'm going to keep struggling with managing my anger, or managing my lust, or overcoming fear or gaining confidence. Those, a lot of the behaviors and habits that we have didn't start yesterday and they didn't start last week. And to overcome them, a lot of times it's going to take more than a day or a week. So to understand sometimes why some of the struggles that we may have throughout our life, if we're to be successful in those, we may need to think back and learn some from our past and even unlearn from our past. And also, I think, so that we'll have patience with ourselves, because it is, in many cases, a lifelong challenge. Dick? Yes. Yeah, and we can't emphasize that enough. We've all had parents, and every human parent, no matter how good they were, they weren't perfect. And so they taught us a lot of right things. But invariably, there were probably some things that they taught us that they believed were right, but just believing something is right doesn't make it right. I always tell, again, my students at the prison, a person can believe that you don't get pregnant the first time you have sex. Believing that won't make it so. Just because a person believes something doesn't make it so. And so if a person's been taught that, they need to unlearn that. And there are a lot of other things that if you've been taught, you need to unlearn it, because it isn't so. Patience, though, sometimes in unlearning with ourselves and also with others. You may wonder sometimes why your spouse just struggles with certain things. And you may know, after a decade or two, you figure it out. It's pretty obvious. You're just as defensive as your father was. Or you're just as fearful and worried as your mother was. Or you're just as critical as we oftentimes imitate the models that we have, whether they were good models or not. And they may have been good models in some areas, but they weren't perfect. And so oftentimes we imitate both the good and the bad. And so sometimes we need to just... sometimes, again, while people have the choice to change, people, a person that struggles with confidence is probably going to struggle with that all their life. But if you understand why a person struggles with that, it's easier to get along with them. If you understand why somebody who grew up in poverty is always worried about money, or if you understand why somebody that maybe they're, and they may respond to that by pinching every penny they get, or they may respond to it by saying, I'm going to spend every penny I get because I didn't have it when I was young and I'm going to have it now. And that may not be the way you were raised, but you weren't raised by the same parents that raised your spouse. And so while you were taught some similar things, you were also probably taught some different things. And not just verbally, but in their behaviors. Your mother and father did some things that, your spouse's mother and father did differently. And so that, that's going to create conflict even when there's just two of you. But later when children come along, well, then you have one idea about how to handle a situation and they have another idea about how to handle a situation. So, whether you're a parent or not, you have to deal with people who had parents. And everybody had them. And you have to, so this is something that hopefully you'll find useful, whether you're a parent or not, whether your children are still at home or whether they're grown and gone. If you are a parent, as I suggested, you need, all those reasons apply to you as well. But there's an additional reason. Not only can you learn more about your relationship with God, and I learned some things about the parent-child relationship as a child, and we'll talk about some of those, but I learned more when I became a parent. But another reason that, as a parent, you'll want to study this subject is because you probably want help. You may be wondering, where's the instruction manual? I don't remember ever having a class on this. How do you do this? Is there a better method than trial and error? As I mentioned, this class is going to be six sessions. Talked a little bit about distributing the handouts. Really encourage you to think deeply, to think about the concepts. I really am going to deal a lot more with fundamental concepts than specifics, although we will deal with some specifics. But don't get frustrated if you're looking at these blanks and you think, what? I can't figure out what goes in that blank. Well, the word you use may be a different word than I would use, but it's the concept that I want you to get. When you look at this passage and you read about that passage, what concept is being discussed? And you might call it something different than I call it. You might need two blanks instead of one, or you might have used a different letter as the first letter. But I figured that I needed to at least give you a clue of what I was thinking about to point you in the right direction. Again, do please share your suggestions and questions. And I'm going to try to repeat the comments that are made as we go along, because we are recording this, because some of our parents teach class on Sunday morning, and so that means some people are going to miss half the classes, either the Sunday classes or the Wednesday classes, and also other reasons people may miss from time to time. I want to just, in 2 minutes, tell you a little bit about my experiences as far as the resources that I'm drawing on for this. First of all, this always surprised some of my students when I was an elementary principal. I have had human parents. You had parents? You go to the grocery store? Yes. I had parents. And in fact, every one of us, the first thing we learn about parenting, we learn from our human parents. Before we ever read a scripture, understand a scripture, go to a Bible class, our first teacher is our parents. And I learned real quick that if I was hungry or if I was wet, if I made enough of a fuss, somebody would do something about it. And so I learned that I had needs. I learned that there were people out there who would meet my needs. I learned to trust. Unfortunately, in some situations, children don't have their needs met and they don't learn to trust. Sometimes children are abandoned. Sometimes parents have physical, mental handicaps. Sometimes they have addictions that just make them where they're unable to care for a child. And so a child, can learn the wrong lesson, that nobody cares about me. There's no help when I need help. The good news is that we've all had human parents, and hopefully you gained a lot of positive things from that. I do want to emphasize also that while we gained a lot of positive things, even if you had the best human parents, they were human, which means that there are going to be some imperfections there. And I say that for a couple reasons. One is so that if you're a parent, you won't beat yourself up. Because if you're not the parent perfect, if you're not the perfect parent, join the club. Because there's no such thing except for God. So of all the human parents, if you worry about the mistakes you've made, just know that you're part of a big club, because we've all made lots of mistakes. There's only one parent who hasn't made mistakes. Now that's the good news. No matter how imperfect your parents may have been, you have a perfect parent, a perfect model, our Heavenly Father. And that's, of course, the most important resource we have. I still refer to a lot of the lessons that I learned from my human parents growing up. But all of that has to be set alongside what my Heavenly Father has revealed. And has to be measured and weighed in light of that. And that's the most important teaching. Of course, I am a parent. I have two children of my own that I provided for, made sure they got an education, and now they're both gainfully employed. Aside from that, the experiences of being a parent, I also was a public school teacher, and I say that because I've often said, "Well, I have a couple of hundred kids, two that go home with me every day," and I feel that way as a teacher, or felt that way as a teacher, that these are my kids. And you were my kid whether you went home with me or not. And sometimes, one of the hardest things was to have a child that you wanted to take home with you and you couldn't. Because you knew the situations that they were going into. I was blessed with the opportunity to be a principal of a couple of different elementary schools for about 15 or 16 years. And that was a great experience because, again, that's a situation where I could say, I have 800 kids, two that go home with me. Or 600 kids, two that go home with me. And those kids were really diverse. Some of them had mental handicaps. Some had physical handicaps. Some had, severe health problems. Some were autistic. Some were gifted. A lot of them were none of those things. They were just plain ordinary. But those were good experiences. And in working with those kids, a lot of times you end up working as a principal with the kids that are having the most problems. And a lot of times those problems relate to problems that the parents are having. And so in addition to teaching the kids, a lot of times you end up having parenting classes. Because a lot of times the children were being raised by children. When a 14, put you this way, when an 18-year-old or 19-year-old brings their 4-year-old to school, you do the math. They became a mother at 14, 15. How experienced, how qualified is a, I graduated from high school, graduated from college before I had my first child, and I was clueless. How somebody who hasn't even started high school going to manage? I had the benefit of good models that I grew up with. A lot of them didn't have that. Again, the resource that the most important one, and a lot of them are operating blindly because they're not using that. And now, finally, the most recent experience, I teach in a prison with David Johnson. And actually teach a class, one of the classes that we teach. In this class, the goal of the class is to help people who have criminal behaviors to change their behavior. And one whole unit of the class has to do with parenting. And they all have to take it whether they're parents or not. Because some of them are there because they need to become better parents. Some of them are there because they learned things from their parents that weren't so. And they need to unlearn them. Maybe they were taught by their parents that there are only two kinds of people in the world. There's weak and strong, and you better be strong. There are those that take and those that get taken, so you be a taker. And, or maybe what they were shown is that, a lot of things we just won't even go into. They saw a lot of things they shouldn't have seen that they need to unlearn. Ideally, what do we learn as children? Let's talk about the ideal first. Ideally, what do we learn as children? We're not going to have time to read all these passages. I hope you've read them already if you have this sheet from Wednesday night. And if on this first go-round you just got the sheet, they're listed here. You can go and read these passages and think about them at your leisure. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, it's talking about how God brought the children out of Egypt. That's interesting. That he wouldn't just put them right in the promised land, but instead they would have to be slaves first in Egypt. Who would pick that for their children? But then, even coming out, instead of putting them on a real comfortable plane or train or auto, he humbled them and let them be hungry and fed them with manna that they did not know, that he might make them understand that man does not live by bread, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. What was God teaching them? Dependence. And that's the first thing, in fact, that we learn as children, that we are completely dependent on others. And there's no more important lesson to learn. Instead of I, me, we need to be God-centered rather than self-centered. We are completely dependent. You may think, well, I've got a good job, and I work when I've got... Well, if you didn't have the health and intelligence, then you wouldn't have those things. All of that came from God. All of it comes from God. Everything you have, you could lose in the next heartbeat. You're as dependent upon God as a child in a bassinet, as a child in a nursery. Without God providing for you, you couldn't live a day. And that's the very first lesson we learn as children, is that we're dependent. And that really, you're exactly right. And another way I think of saying that is trust, because basically what submission is trust. When I tell you to do this and it doesn't make sense to you, are you going to submit or not? Well, it depends if you trust me. If you're convinced that you know better than I do, sound like any teenagers you know? The temptation may be to do what they know because my parents don't know what they're talking about. Instead of to say, well, it doesn't make sense to me, but since they have more experience, I'm going to trust them. I don't know why God said this, but He's smarter than I am, so I'm going to trust Him. And again, as children, we learn, hopefully, and most children learn pretty quickly, that if they're hungry or cold, When they cry out, somebody's going to do. And if they cry out loud enough, maybe somebody's going to respond. Chuck. Yes. Yeah, a lot of times, as Chuck said, we don't realize that until later. We hopefully that is something we come to learn. And basically, you think about what a parent wants. When you look at these passages, what is it that God asks from His children again and again throughout Scripture? When you look at Psalm 22:4, when you look at Proverbs 13:12, what does God say again and again when He makes commands? Trust me. Trust me. Put your trust in me. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in the flesh. Don't put your confidence in you. Put your confidence in me. Trust me. And it's the very thing we as parents, say, trust me. That stuff under the counter is not something you want to play with. Trust me. It's, being out there on the road is not a place you want to play. Trust me. This person is not a good person for you to spend time with.
It's a tricky thing for us to deal with because somewhere along in life, we have to come to grips with the idea of making decisions, making right decisions for ourselves. And many times we learn that by making wrong decisions.
That's exactly right. One of the ways we learn trust is when we don't trust and then we pay for it. Yeah, or we, so when we disobey and we suffer the consequences, a lot of times, we learn by our mistakes. You learn a lot more usually from your failures than you do from your successes. And so, we'll say some more about that as we go along. Ideally, one of the things as children we're going to learn about is unselfish love. Even as a child, you notice that your mother gives you the last piece of dessert instead of taking it herself. Or you notice that your father goes to work, not just on the pretty days, but even when it's below zero outside. I grew up in southwestern Pennsylvania. And he doesn't just go to work when he feels good, but some days when he's coughing and he even has a fever. Why? And there were times when you got new clothes or new shoes and you may or may not have noticed what at the time that their clothes weren't new. But you learn pretty quickly that parents make sacrifices. They don't always do what's in what's most convenient for them. And that's ideally as it should be. Unfortunately, a lot of times parents want to do what's convenient for them instead of what's best for their child. Well, if they want to eat that for breakfast, I don't want to fight that battle. It's inconvenient to fight battles. But again, the question comes down to, are you more concerned about what's convenient for you or about what's best for your child? Well, unselfish love means you're going to do what's best for this person, even if it is inconvenient for you. First John 4:19 talks about we love because He first loved us. And we learn to love our parents because of the love that they first show us. We learn that from them. And hopefully if these things take place, that we learn to trust our parents, we see their unselfish love. Hopefully, children, we learn to be thankful. I think I put down here gratitude all the way down at the end. And you'll notice I modify some of these things as I'm working on my PowerPoint. I thought, man, that should have gone way up here instead of down there. But, gratitude obviously is one of the things that children hopefully will learn, ought to learn, ideally will learn. And Colossians 3:15 talks about our being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 talks about giving thanks in all things. And, if you're completely dependent and somebody is always there for you, it's hard not to be thankful. Hopefully that's an important lesson that we learn in childhood. Another lesson is that we're valuable. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I wonder sometimes, would I die for that person? Would I die for that person? Would I die for that person? You know, or here's an even harder question. Would I give my son for that person? Would I give my child for that person? You know, if the answer is yes, what does it say about the value of that person? And we think about the fact that God gave His Son for you. What does that say about your value? But also, if God gave His Son for that fellow that's in a prison cell, or for that fellow that's hustling people down there on the street corner, if God gave His Son for that person, what does it say about the value of that person? They may not be valuable in the world's eyes, but they're valuable if God gave His Son for them. You know, you may not feel that valuable, but if God gave His Son for you, you are valuable. So hopefully, as children, and we're going to talk about not only these things, hopefully you've learned, obviously these are things, as parents, we're going to want to teach our children that you're valuable. Of course, not only are you valuable, but so is your brother that you just smacked upside the head, or your sister that you locked outside the house. Or, you know, yes, you're valuable, but other people are too. And so, you're valuable, but we have to respect others as well. What's the lesson from Proverbs 24:16? If you fall six times, you need to get up six times. You're going to fall. We're going to make mistakes. But that's the reality of life for every child, for every parent. And so, we learn that from childhood. Okay, here's a chance to brag, those of you who are parents. How many of your kids learned to walk on the first try without falling? Or learn to ride a bike on the first time without falling? It doesn't happen. That's how you learn. You learn by making mistakes and making corrections. And so a part of learning is that, you're not going to learn things the first try. You have to keep trying. You have to persist. It takes more than one time. The first time you play Zelda, you're not going to win. But that's all right. You get to play it again tomorrow. So persistence. And then, along with that, admitting or acknowledging failure. These are all things that, as children we learn. We learn pretty young that when we mess up, when we try to cover that up, when we try to keep that in, when we try to keep people from finding it, that's a burden. when you break something and you hide it and hope mom or dad doesn't find it, don't you just live in dread? Because you know they're going to find it. And so you learn that it's just so much easier to just confess, admit, ask for mercy. Those are lessons we ideally learn, as children. But those aren't just lessons, about how to, people to get along together in a house. Those are lessons that define our relationship with God. If we can't acknowledge our failures, what kind of relationship can we have with God? Well, we can't have one. If we're going to throw in the towel every time we fall and I just give up, we're not going to have a relationship with God because we are going to fall. If I'm going to have to start moving a little quicker here. I'm sorry about that. But think about what we learn as children. Again, it's not only the things that are taught, that are said, but again, the things that parents do. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul talks about how Timothy learned from his mother and grandmother. And we learn not only from the things that are said, but from the things that we see. And this is in many ways a blessing. I learned a lot of good things from watching my parents. But again, because my human parents, but because they are human, You know, there were times when they would be the first to say, "Do as I say, not as I do." You know, don't follow my example when it comes to controlling my anger. there are better examples out there. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, we see that that we don't have to follow. While we're influenced by, and we need to appreciate the influence that our parents do have on us, the fact is we do have a choice. You know, just because our earthly parents didn't always control their anger doesn't mean we have to get angry every time a certain thing happens. Or if our human parents weren't very affectionate, that doesn't mean we have to follow that example. Or if in the most extreme cases, again, like I said, you see some pretty extreme cases in the prison environment when you have sexual predators and child molesters and things like that. You know, you would think, surely anybody that experienced that would never do that to a child. And yet all the studies say, where did that start? Well, it's something they experienced. That's just what they saw, and they didn't know any other way. You know, they were taught that this is what love is. Is that right? No. Did they need to unlearn it? You bet. But you know, you would think if anybody would be determined not to hurt a child, it would be somebody that was hurt as a child. And yet, as one person told me, he said, you know, if that's all you ever saw, you don't know anything else. But, you know, that's why you show people other things. That's why we have more than our human parents. We have a Heavenly Father, and we have revelation from our Heavenly Father. And we can choose. We can break generational cycles. We don't have to be, it's interesting when you read through the Old Testament, you look at the kings. Some of the worst kings had some of the best kids. Some of the best kings had some of the worst kids. You don't have to follow in the steps of your father. You don't have to. The son doesn't bear the sin of the father, Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. As Joshua says in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, choose. You have a choice. You always have a choice. And even if you've failed in the past, you've got to make a choice now about what you're going to do in the future. What do we learn as parents? Again, as parents, we learn a lot of the same lessons. I remember the first time I saw the first moment I saw my first child, when Philip was born, and I was there, and that's a humbling thing. All you can think about is not just how helpless he is, but how helpless you are. You know, if his heart stops, there's not a thing I can do about it. If he stops breathing, there's not a thing I can do about it. I'd be pleading with the doctor to do something. I'd be pleading with God to do something. But I can't change that. How am I going to raise this child? What is he going to face in this lifetime? Well, again, you're completely dependent. And so hopefully we do what Solomon did when he realized the task that was before him in ruling the nation of Israel. God, I need wisdom. Ask for help. We are completely, as parents, we learn that we're completely dependent and we need to ask for help. We learn unselfish love. I mean, I saw examples of unselfish love from my parents as I was growing up. But when you really understand unselfish love is when you're the parent and you have a child. I thought Christmas was the greatest thing in the world when I was a kid because you got stuff. I found out that it's better giving stuff than getting stuff. Jesus had it right. When you have a child, what would you give up for them? Anything. I mean, you're willing to make sacrifice. You understand what it means to be willing to make sacrifices. Anytime your child is hurt, your first thought is, let me take their place. Let me suffer it instead of them suffering. To be thankful. Again, acknowledging our failures. Just like there are no perfect children, there are no perfect parents. And so, if we expect perfect children, we're going to be disappointed. If we expect to be perfect parents, we're going to be disappointed. Being a parent, we learn what a great blessing, and we learn something about responsibility. One thing we learn is how fleeting time is. How fleeting time is. Especially when your children leave home. That's when it really hits. No matter how much time you've spent with them, no matter how much you've done with them, I've never met a parent yet who said, I didn't have to spend that much. I could have spent less. Everyone I've ever talked to says, I wish I'd spent more. I wish I'd done more with them. I wish I'd spent more time with them. One of the things you learn as a parent is the uniqueness of every individual. It doesn't matter if you have 2 children or 10 children or 17 children. No 2 of them are going to be alike. They're going to be different as different in their personalities as they are in their physical appearance. Some aren't that different physically, right, John and Daniel? But but you're different in your personalities. even twins, they're going to be different. Each one is an individual. We learn about the uniqueness of every individual. And so we're going to talk more about this next week. And I'm going to come back. Next week we're going to talk about where the instructions for parenting are. This is the first time I've taught this, so I wasn't sure about where to divide some of these things. We'll put at the beginning of next week's lesson, where are the instructions for parenting? What are the roles of the ideal parent? We're going to talk about the parent as a provider, as a teacher, as a disciplinarian. We're going to talk about the fact that parenthood is a temporary job. We're stewards. We're entrusted with a blessing from God, and it's just for a limited time. And we're going to talk about this idea of the uniqueness of each child. And I encourage you to think about Proverbs 22, verse 6, in that light, that idea about training up a child in the way they would go. A lot of times we think in terms of moral teaching. But think in terms of this, about how children are different, and different in personalities, and what that might mean to train them up in the way that they should go. Are you going to make every child fit your mold or their brother's mold? Or are you going to respect the individuality of the way God created each individual child? Think about some ways that parents try to make children something they aren't. God, by design, planned for us to start out as children.
Parents, you only have one opportunity to. You can't back it up to 3 levels.
Right. You only have one opportunity. The good thing is you have a backup, though, too. And that is that, despite our best efforts, despite our feeble efforts, they do have a perfect model. And so when we mess up, we just have to say, look at your Heavenly Father. And again, this is a lesson. I'm a lesson on the fact that we're dependent on God for mercy and grace. Because we need to be honest with our kids in that way. That just like you're going to make mistakes, I will too. We wouldn't expect, hopefully we wouldn't expect a child to never make a mistake. So why would a child expect a parent to never make a mistake? Why would a parent expect that they would never make a mistake? You're going to make some mistakes. And so just like children learn from those mistakes, sometimes as parents we're going to have to learn from those mistakes. But again, the good news is we have a backup who doesn't make mistakes. And so sometimes I have to say, don't look at me, look at our Heavenly Father.
Paul addressed this in Romans 3:3. He says, what if some did not believe, shall the Now, their unbelief makes the faith of God without effect. And she said, God forbid for us. And verse or two later, so how is God going to judge the world if everything we do, you think is right, whether it is or not?
Right. Thank you. We'll pick up there Wednesday evening. I'll have after services this morning, I'll try to have some lessons. She's out on the table in the back, and then we'll get those posted on the website also.